And what do we have to fear in those situations? And he says, you are my friends if you do what I command. And this has been blowing my mind all week. The more I think about it, is that the God of the universe sends his son down, and his son talking to his disciples to speak through us to us now. He says, you are my friends. And something about the word friend, it implies such intimacy. Like, there's acquaintances, and then there's people you know, and people you see, and people you're around, and coworkers, and then there's your friends. And friends harbor this special place in our hearts, and we have trust in our friends, we find joy with our friends, we can laugh about things with our friends, and we can really confide in our friends. And we do not deserve to be friends with Jesus Christ. Absolutely not. We do not deserve to call him a friend, but he says, now you are my friends. And we can claim that when we remain in him and he remains in us. Jesus says, you are my friend. And he says, you didn't choose me. And isn't that the truth? Right, we live in a fallen world, we're fallen people. All of us who have been born again have come to a place where we've had to recognize that first part, which is I'm not right on my own. I fall away on my own. I am a sinful being on my own. You did not choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. He says, I chose you. I appointed you. Now go and bear fruit. Go and do that. Remain in me. We're going to make it through this, but you need to go because I chose you. And he's speaking to his disciples here as he's getting ready to do the next phase of his ministry. And he chose them to be the beginning of the church in a time where he was going to be gone after he ascended into heaven. But this speaks to us now, because are we not Jesus' disciples? Are we not Jesus' disciples? We are. And he says, I chose you. Each and every one of us, we have a calling on our life. And we need to live every day. And it might not be in the big moments. It might be in the little moments, in the little conversations that he's pulling on your heartstrings, because he chose you and he's choosing you again. And he appointed you and he's going to equip you for what you need to do for him. And he is never going to leave you alone. And we pray in the power of Jesus' name. When we do this and choose to remain in him, we will never face anything alone. And I think that Satan's number one scheme right now in the world is to isolate people. And I don't know that that's new by any means. I think that's his MO there. But that's what he does. He isolates people. I mean, our darkest moments in our life, we can think back. I think feeling alone can be synonymous with feeling depressed. And feeling alone is when we were most anxious. And feeling alone is when we were the most lost and helpless. And that's what Satan does. But we know that that is just not our reality as Christians, right? We do not live in a state of being alone. We're not. And this is something I like to talk to my Bible class a lot, because middle school's a tough age. And they have a lot going on. And a lot of them struggle with one common thing, feeling alone. But it's not just middle schoolers, it's high schoolers, it's 20-year-olds, it's 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds, it's 50-year-olds, 60-year-olds, 70-year-old, 80-year-old, 90-year-old. We struggle with that. We struggle with feeling alone because that's what Satan likes to do. He likes to isolate us and make us feel like people don't actually care about us and people aren't actually invested in us and we don't actually make a difference. But who is our purpose found in? Our purpose is found in Jesus Christ. It's found there. It's not found in us. If your purpose was found in you, that'd be a pretty sad purpose, because we can only come up with so much on our own. We have a purpose found in something much greater than us, greater than we could even understand or fathom. Our purpose is found in Jesus Christ. And when he is with us and we claim him as our greatest purpose, we are not alone. And the world will try to push against that and to make you feel like that. But he said, this is my commandment now. Love each other. They would not be guilty if I had not come and spoken to them, but now they have no excuse for their sin. They hated me without cause. And love is the greatest combatant against loneliness. Even for ourselves, sometimes it might not be a case where maybe someone's not being obedient and they're not the one to reach out to you, right? Because doesn't it feel amazing when somebody reaches out to you in love and you might get a call from somebody? Like, have you ever gotten a really timely call from someone where you're kind of wrestling with someone and then you get that phone call and you look at who it is and you're like, I needed that. I had two of those this week. But sometimes that doesn't always happen. Sometimes we have to be the ones to push the love envelope. Maybe we need to reach out and we need to love someone, because when we love others, we're fulfilling that first commandment. He says, remain in me and follow what I have commanded. Jesus' greatest command was to love one another. So therefore, logically, if we love others, we're fulfilling out Jesus' roadmap for joy. If we push the envelope of love and we love others when we are feeling isolated, we are going to feel joy. I don't like to be all Norman Vincent Peale or think things into existence. It's so much more than just thinking a positive thought to change your emotions. It's following an action that you've been commanded and designed to do, and that Jesus Christ said will bring you joy if you do it. So even if someone else doesn't take that first step, when we are feeling isolated, we need to fall back like the tree. We need to seek out our water source. And what does it tell us? He says that we need to go and we need to love others. When we are filled with anxiety, our number one thing to do is to go and remain in him. When we are filled with grief from loss of loved ones, from knowing tragic things, that's heavy to bear, we need to go back and remain in him. When we are filled with anger or rage, that's another one Satan loves. Satan loves for people to vent rage, right? Because you can't take words and actions back. They're just out there, and we can ask for forgiveness, but once it's out, it's out. No. When you are feeling angry, you go back to your root system, and you seek out your water, and you remain in him. And when you're discouraged, you remain in him. And when you have self-doubt, your purpose is not found in you, it's found in him. Remain in him. When you are insecure, you remain in him. When your past tries to come back and haunt you, you remain in him. When your burdens are too many, you remain in him. And when you don't know what to do next, you remain in him. It's this constant, no matter where we're at in our life. This is the key to joy. It's the key to living in close communion and fellowship with him. And we might not be at a point where we can spend hours and hours of our time devoted to just reading the Bible. Maybe it's a really busy week or a really busy day. He says, I just want you to remain in me. Keep your thoughts on me. Keep your eye on me. Remain in me. That's what he's calling us to do. And it all leads up to that second part where he says, I will remain in you. And that's not all. Even at the end of all that, even at the end of him remaining in us, he gives us this added bonus, right? Like, we definitely don't deserve Jesus to be our friend. We definitely do not deserve for him to remain in us. But he does, and he does, and he chose us. And he also gives us this huge added bonus. He says, I am sending you an advocate, the Spirit of Truth. And I want to focus on that word truth for just a minute here. Doesn't truth have a way of clearing things up? I mean, being in a frustrating situation, I think about situations at my old job where I just feel like if I could just be able to communicate with them better, or they would just listen to me, or I would just feel more calm and I could hear them out better. It's these frustration is caused when truth is missing often. And truth has a way of clearing up confusion and pulling out frustration. Truth has this cleansing ability to just show things as they are. And Jesus says, I'm going to send you the advocate. The advocate. What a name. The Spirit of Truth. And if you hold on to me, if you remain in me, he's going to do these three things. He's going to remain in us, and we're going to be equipped. He's going to send the advocate, the Spirit of Truth. And the Spirit of Truth brings us comfort and joy. And the Spirit of Truth eases anxiety and depression. Because when you hang on to truth, most anxious thoughts and feelings are not true. Right? They're a distortion of reality that's going on that Satan uses us to make us feel overwhelmed and isolated. And they're just not true. Because when we go back to the things we know to be the most true, that God's called us to be people that love and to remain in him and to seek our water source, all of that kind of goes away. And truth brings calm into our lives. And he says, I'm sending you that. I'm sending you that. So you're going to have a joyful life. But this truth bringer, this advocate, it's going to bring calm into your life. And the third thing that I want to talk to you about that he promises here is that he's going to chase us with goodness and mercy. Have any of you heard of Jefferson Bethke? He wrote a book called Jesus is Greater Than Religion, and he had like a spoken word kind of rap video that came out with it several years ago. I don't know. You might have heard it at some point. But I follow him on Instagram. And those of you who don't know what Instagram is, it's a social media platform, and you can follow people. I don't literally follow him around, but I do follow him on Instagram. And he has, I think, 4 kids or something, and he's married to his wife, Alyssa. And he posted this. Occasionally, he'll post these, like, Bible stories at the Bethke house. And I in no way came up with this on my own. I immediately just got it from him 100%. And I just want to read you what he wrote about this. And I need to set it up because the video goes with it. So this guy is in there, and he's like, I don't know, mid, late 30s. And he's got one really curly-haired girl about this tall, no idea how old she is, and then another really curly-haired boy about this tall, and then a baby. He's holding a baby. And he has his kids there, and he's doing this Bible lesson. And he says, have you heard in Psalms where it says that surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life? And they're like, yes, Daddy. And he goes, okay, follow me. And he starts walking. And his kids are like little ducklings. They kind of trail behind, right? And then he adds this. He says, but in the Hebrew translation, the word follow can actually be translated as chase or pursue. So then he's standing there with his kids, and he goes, all right, I want you to chase me. And he starts sprinting down the hallway in his house, and his little curly-haired children and the baby, they're all like running after Daddy for this. And he says, this is what God's going to do for you if you follow him. He's going to send goodness and mercy to chase you in hot pursuit of you. And here's what he writes. He says, this time, trying to get the kids to think about Psalms 23:6. Our Bibles tend to translate that verse as goodness and mercy will surely follow us, which in itself is awesome and such a great picture. But the Hebrew word that actually translates as follows is much stronger. It can be translated as chase or pursue. Or if it is translated as follow, it's the same tense and the same sense as a hunter stalking a scent. That's the type of follow, is to picture a hunter on like a hot trail, scent, on following something scent. What a crazy picture that Jesus is actually chasing us with goodness and mercy. That we are actively being hunted down by God's blessings and flourishings and being given true life. And the question is, are our eyes and hands open to receive it? And isn't that just a powerful thing? That God's going to be chasing you with goodness and mercy is when he claims you as his. And you come to the place where you recognize that, he's going to send goodness and mercy, chasing you down. And there's not a place that you can go. It's not just going to follow. It's going to chase you in hot pursuit. And that's the type of life, and that's the type of blessings that we reap when we have Jesus Christ and when we are remaining in him. When we seek him out as our water source, he remains in us. And then he's going to be with us, and he's going to send us this advocate and the Spirit of truth, and then he's going to send goodness and mercy. So when you mess up, he's going to be merciful, and he's going to send you good things, and he's going to send you good relationships and good meaning. He's going to send you good things and good work and good conversation. He's going to bless you. And it's not always going to be easy, but we can trust that he's going to follow through, and he will chase us. And even if it's hard, our life is still good because he's in it. I feel like I need an amen for that. Even when it's hard, our life can still be good if Jesus is in it. Yes. And your life is filled to overflowing, and we will be filled with love when we remain in him. We are never alone when we remain in him. We are never isolated because we will always have him in us. And like the weeping willow that seeks out its water source and can wreak havoc when it's not right next to it, we need to seek him out. And he will give us life. Listening to that, I mean, the willow tree lives 30 to 50 years, but it lives way closer on the 50-year side when it's in the water source that it needs. And when we are in our water source, he's going to fill us with life and life everlasting. And that's what we claim today. And the promise that we're claiming is that if we remain in him, he's going to remain in us, right? That's a promise to claim. He says, I chose you. And you live today as a chosen person. You are not an accident. You are not a mistake. You are not second rate. Jesus does not look at others as being more important than you. You, specifically you, look in the mirror, you, not everybody else, you, but you are chosen. And he's going to appoint you, and he's going to equip you. And I want to end with this. I want all of us to say, I will choose to remain in him. I feel like that's our way of taking this word that he's given us and putting some action to it. It's like, you know what, we've heard this, and I feel blessed because I feel it, and I've heard it, and I've read it. But I'm gonna take that next step, and I'm going to actually claim to Jesus, I will remain in you. And I'm going to do my first step, because that's what he says. He says, remain in me. And that's when we get, he'll remain in us, he'll send us the advocate, the Spirit of truth, and he's going to chase us down with goodness and mercy and hot pursuit, right? But we just have to follow that first stage there. So all together, we're going to say, I will choose to remain in him. You ready? I will choose to remain in him. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we pray in your name. And we are blessed people. And we can see the goodness and the mercy that you've put in our life to send and chase us, God. And we claim you as our Lord and the Lord of our life. And not just the Lord of our life when it's easy, but God, the Lord of our life when Satan is scheming against us. And God, you're the Lord of our life when things are difficult. And you're the Lord of our life when it's frustrating and when it's hard. And God, we are going to seek you out. And we are going to remain in you because you're our vine and you chose us and you will appoint us and you will equip us. And we are yours and this church is yours and you're going to do what you need to do with this church. And Lord, we're going to be obedient to it and we're going to show up and we're going to follow you and we're going to remain in you and we're going to love one another around us. And even if those, they don't reach out to us first, we know that the way to a joyful life is to reach out in love. And God, we're going to do that. We are going to remain in you, and this church is yours, and our lives are yours, God. And we know that it's safe in your hands, and that you take good care of your children, Lord. And in your precious name, God, I pray that you would bless I pray that you would bless the people in this room, and even those who aren't, those who are a part of us and they're not here right now, God, I pray that your power would just reach beyond the walls of these buildings, and that this church would be a place of community and love amongst our community. Lord, I pray that you would just reach out, and your love would reach out, and that people would choose to cling to you and remain in you. And in your name, everybody said, amen.